Hey, it's Dolan White, and this is the Dolan White Podcast. I am back from my brand new beautiful studio, which I love. Going to be releasing content at least every other week, if not every week. Haven't exactly made up my mind on that, but I'll at least be releasing content every other week, starting today with a great episode. My guest is Shannon Duncan. He's the author of a new book called Coming Full Circle, Using Psychedelics to Heal Trauma. Now, before we get started, I thought this was just something going on the West Coast, but apparently this is nationwide and you can actually do it right here in Nashville, Tennessee. There are places that you can pay to go to. They will use psychedelics to help you heal your trauma. And if you can do it in Tennessee, there's a great chance, no matter where you are in the United States of America, this kind of therapy is offered to you as well. So something to look into if you like what Shannon has to say about it. And I can't see any case where you wouldn't. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolan White Podcast.
Live.
Yeah.
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolan White Podcast.
All right. Episode 104 now, the Dolan White Podcast. My guest today, author of the new book, Coming Full Circle, Using Psychedelics to Heal Trauma, Shannon Duncan. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So your book is about your journey using psychedelics in therapy. It's almost like a journal, correct? Is that, am I getting that right?
It's a combination of a memoir of my own experience of going through, not journalistic, but, just hopping in and out of parts of my story of, you know, what brought me to using psychedelics in this way and what my experiences were and what I learned along the way. But it's also a detailed, informative guide for anyone who's curious about or interested in exploring psychedelics as a means to heal treatment-resistant trauma, to really understand what that looks like and, you know, what to look for and what to watch out for as they investigate this for themselves. It's really meant to help somebody come into it with their eyes wide open to what it's really about.
This is a relatively new form. I don't want to say relatively new, because I'm sure this has been happening for millions and millions of years, as most things, when you deal with things like mushrooms that have been around for a long time in nature, we have ancestors that were doing them millions and millions of years ago. But for us here in modern times, it's relatively new to use these in healing the way that you had, correct? This is kind of when I was growing up, drugs were bad. Just say no. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah. The era that we're coming from. Now we're getting into, you know, we're things that are legal that we never thought would be.
There's been an underground scene since the 60s,
right,
with some truly capable guides. There have often been therapists or psychiatrists or psychologists who are deeply informed on how to work with trauma. And they've been holding sessions for people for a very long time, but it's underground. And it's been growing in recent years. And like you said, there have been new legal channels starting to show up that they have their limitations. The bureaucratic red tape has their hands pretty firmly shackled that can limit its effectiveness to a degree, but it has to start somewhere. And my hope is that people who understand how this process really works start getting a voice at the table to shape how legal therapeutic use of psychedelics is held. But yeah, the war on drugs and the Just Say No campaigns had some intensely dishonest propaganda that was pushed really hard. You know, remember the old ads with the egg frying in the pan?
Yes.
With your eggs,
your brain egg on drugs.
Yeah. And, psychedelics were looped into the same circle as drugs like heroin or PCP or cocaine. And they're very different. They're very different. And that's why so often you hear psychedelics described as medicine, psychedelic medicine, instead of psychedelic drugs, just because it kind of helps separate it from the stigma.
What all constitutes as a psychedelic? Like, what drugs are those? For those of us that were just, you know, I was young, I took some stuff. I don't know if it was a psychedelic. Does it count? Like, where are we?
The really common, well-known ones are like LSD and mushrooms.
Right.
MDMA, otherwise known as ecstasy, is a really potent one that's frequently used in the legal clinical trials that are going on to get FDA approval.
Really? It's like ecstasy in college, and it was the greatest drug I've ever taken in my entire life. Like, I just,
it can be very, very pleasurable, and it can also be incredibly healing. Before I ever did a guided session, I was one time walking with a friend on MDMA, and it was the first time I ever had kinder, loving feelings towards myself. And I never knew that that had been missing until all of a sudden I felt it. And that's the kind of thing that can happen just from casual psychedelic use. You get these flashes of insight of something different that you never knew before, and it can change your life profoundly. But when I got into actually doing this in a guided way, it opened me up at a level that I was truly, that was truly profound. It opened me up to a level that I never knew was possible, and allowed a process of healing to start that years of talk therapy never came anywhere close to. Years of expansive psychedelic use, doing my own exploring, trying to heal on my own, never got anywhere near. And that's really the power of having a professionally guided psychedelic session from somebody who's truly qualified.
How long do these sessions last? I actually looked into this to see. I don't know what state you're in. I'm in Tennessee, which is probably a little more strict than most. But here in Nashville, I can get a guided psychedelic treatment session here. And so I looked into this in preparation of this podcast. I'm like, okay, this is something to consider. So how long is a session normally? Because I remember being on ecstasy, it was like an all night thing.
If it's properly done, and not all legal channels do it very well, which is important to know. It's people that don't understand how it works. They think that you put the medicine in your body and the medicine does something to your brain, and then you come out the other side better. And it's not really how it works. The psychedelics give you a direct, different experience of yourself, a direct confrontation of yourself without your normal blinders on, without the normal resistances on. So you can see and interact with yourself in a different way, and then you can bring that difference back into your everyday life. But a normal session, it depends. Some people will go in and 3 or 4 hours, they're kind of out of it, and then they're just resting somewhere. I've had deep sessions go 9 and 10 hours.
Wow.
And it's, but that's when you're doing it for real. That's when you're psychologically allowing the felt sense of the medicine to go really deep and resonating in you in places that you don't normally allow yourself to go. And that's really what separates the recreational expansive kind of use from true medicine work use. Is the intention that you're going to allow it to go into those places that seem kind of scary, because that's where traumas live. And when you have proper guidance and you're reminded to breathe and you stay in your body, it's not that scary, and you're able to release, deeply release old traumas for real. It's the difference between blowing off some steam and feeling better for a little bit, or healing the source of the heat that causes the steam and feeling better for the rest of your life. And that's what true deep medicine work is about. And that's what I wrote the book about, so people could understand that difference, what it really looks like, and how to identify somebody that can even hold a space for that.
Do you remember things in these sessions that you may have otherwise blocked out?
Yes. Not everybody does. Not everybody has that. In my own circumstance, that was a real thing. And I took a very long time. My guide, my very qualified guide, right away said, look, these things, you have to hold them lightly, because you can force a belief about something that didn't happen in that way. Your mind is just, you know, the emotion coming up, the feeling coming up is real. What you express in the session is always real. You're not going to cry or vomit or scream or anything because of nothing, right? Something real is being expressed from the body. Body, but sometimes the mind tries to put a different face on it, or a different experience on it that feels safer, or you're not ready to know what the real truth was. And so it's important to always hold that lightly. And sometimes it takes several sessions to go by, or it's the work you do in the integration period after with a therapist that helps bring it all to be clear. But it can and does happen sometimes. And it's just important to always approach it with a great deal of care, not to rush out and make accusations at anybody. Right. Because you might find that that person you're accusing was a safer face than the actual perpetrator, or you might find that it was a different experience altogether, and this is just what your mind did to fill in the blanks. And so it's a potent tool for recovering those kind of memories, but it has to be approached with a great deal of caution and care.
One thing that I remember about ecstasy, and this is going back 20 years, is that I never once felt like I was out of control of myself.
Does that make sense? Like, I've been drunk before and I've just been a blubbering ass, but on ecstasy, like I was able to be calm and relaxed and, still able to understand the situation. What you're saying with guided therapy, with psychedelics is I'm going to guess it's something kind of like that and not like, let's say a hypnotherapy type of thing where you're out of it and then you wake up and you don't remember anything. This is something that you recall your sessions. You can remember everything when they're done.
Yeah. Sometimes if you're on larger doses, which sometimes you can work that way with the more underground facilitators, the above ground facilitators are highly regulated in the size of doses. Sometimes with MDMA, you'll have spots of the session that aren't as clear for memory. But they usually come back later. But that's not really the important part. It's not the ideas you come to, but the journey you took to get there and just the process of your body having gone through, the experience of allowing previously restricted emotional material to be expressed and discussed or however it is that needs to be expressed from you is the thing that heals you.
When we talk about trauma, a lot of times we're basically a lot of times talking childhood stuff. Everything that came out for you, childhood, or was there some more adult type stuff as well?
No, for me, it was very early life experiences. And it was, it was so freeing, so liberating to just own the truth of what had affected me so deeply, because that allowed it to begin to be released and stop being something alive in me today, but something that happened in the past. Stop being something I was identified with as who I am, and it's just something that happened to me at some point in the future. That's really where the healing starts to happen. That's where the relief comes from.
Has everybody that you know that has tried this type of therapy kind of had the same experience that you have, that it has worked, it has been freeing, it has been releasing older traumas?
No, they're unfortunately how some of these sessions are held are not held in a way that would allow it. Sometimes you have a guide or a therapist that hasn't done their own deep work. And when somebody else starts going to a depth below where the therapist or guide is gone, they start getting triggered and they start pulling back, and that affects the session. They don't want you to instinctively and unconsciously, they don't want you to go to a place that's going to trigger them. Mm-hmm. And so they keep the session shallow, unintentionally, unconsciously. But I talk about this in the book, is that anyone who hasn't actually done real deeps, not tripping out in college kind of psychedelic experience, real deep focused psychedelic work within themselves, cannot possibly hold a beneficial session for a beneficial space for somebody else. But unfortunately, that's happening a lot. There are therapists trying, or just Joe Schmoes that had some big psychedelic experiences, and all of a sudden they want to be a psychedelic guide, and they start offering these services, and people go, and sometimes, you know, it's interesting, but they didn't get that much from it, or they're re-traumatized because what came up was just too scary and the person there couldn't help them hold that and process that. And that I hear a lot. And that's one of the reasons that I decided to write this book, so that people could understand what this really looks like, what the process is really like, what their mindset should be coming into it, and what qualified help really looks like, so that they can, when they go do have this experience, they can actually get real benefit from it.
How many sessions did you end up doing, and what was it, always MDMA, or where did you guys kind of mix it up a little bit?
For me and the early life situations that caused my trauma and the intensity of the defenses that were created to protect me from experiencing that trauma, I was almost monthly for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a deep, deep commitment on my part. But every single time I went into a journey, I could feel that I was moving deeper. I was moving closer to the truth. I was, you know, when I started, I didn't know that there were memories to be recovered. That's not what I was looking for. But it was a powerful experience and a really interesting experience. I nerd out on that kind of thing. So it was challenging. Sometimes it's really hard. I was always very fearful going into it because my body knew we were going into stuff that was labeled as dangerous. Right. And it's just, you've really got to hold your intention to heal and allow that fear. but that intention to heal is what carries you through. Other people, there have been veterans with radical issues with PTSD that have had three sessions with in a clinical trial, three or four sessions with MDMA, and they feel amazingly better. Wow. And so everybody's different. It just really depends on how those traumas affected you and how defended you are from feeling it, how much terror there was at the time when you experienced that and it got locked away. Those things all affect it. Wow. And I've worked with MDMA, I've worked with mushrooms, I've worked with ketamine, I've worked with 5-MeO-DMT, 3-MMC, and 2-CB and GHB. And sometimes they're layered together in a session. Each one has a different resonance and locks you in a different way. And I go with what feels like needs to happen. I've developed a really strong instinct with it. And but most people will end up working with a single practitioner and a single medicine.
I could talk to you about this all day, but I know you got to hop. Is there any one thing that we need to know about psychedelic, you know, healing that we didn't cover already? If there's,
you know, it's really why I wrote the book. There's a lot to know and a lot to understand, and a lot to the mindset that you bring into approaching it. So yeah, that's a lot to cover. Yeah, get the book. but the book is out there, and the ebook is actually really cheap right now. So it's you know, just when a book launch, you put your ebook cheap to help get some sales. And so, you know, if money's an issue, the ebook's really cheap. It's like $5 or something, or $4. And
there you go.
But there's an ebook and a print book and an audio book. If you've got an Audible account or Spotify or any of those, you can get the audio book. I just, with all my heart, I hope it's helpful.
If the audio book or if the book's anything like our conversation, you've talked me into this in these 15 minutes. So I definitely think it's worth a try. It's something I was definitely interested in to begin with. But Shannon Duncan, thank you so much. The book is Coming Full Circle, Using Psychedelics to Heal Trauma. Go get it. And thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Shannon Duncan. Make sure you check out his book, Coming Full Circle, Using Psychedelics to Heal Trauma. Definitely interesting stuff there. I don't know who my next guest is going to be. I have a lot of episodes that I've recorded that I have not released yet. One of which is with Damon John. So I'm looking forward to releasing that episode. That might be the next one, but I haven't made up my mind yet. Anyway, thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for waiting patiently for me to get my shit together and get my studio up and running. I definitely appreciate that. With that said, I'm out. Check back with me either next week or in 2 weeks. I still haven't made up my mind yet. I'll get my shit together and you'll get notified when there's another episode. But thank you for checking out the podcast. I'm gone.